This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Live from the dungeon, we coming. Y'all just keep running, we coming. Y'all don't want none of this gun. I don't know why y'all be running.
Just when you thought it was safe to put on a podcast, the legend continues. Place to Be Nation presents Freak Out Drive-In with Jennifer Smith.
My weapon is large for bodies, I'm strapped for battle. My soul is in the crossroads and highs fulfilling. Somewhere deep inside the spirit to rise the killer. I'm too distant to talk. My vicious assault is inflicted in parts to slit you a stick in your heart. I got nothing to lose and nothing to gain. Only way I'm dying is up in
front. Hi, welcome to Freak Out Drive-In. I am your hostess, Jennifer Smith, and we are going to watch a scary movie. Now, I know you're thinking, Jenny, you already did an episode of Freak Out Drive-In for the month of October, and to you I will say, hey, it's Halloween season, and there can never be too many scary movies, especially a classic like this one. I invited my friend Stacey O'Loughlin to watch Scream with me. Now, as you will discover, if you don't already know, Stacey is Australian, and over the course of the conversation over the movie, we have a couple of our trademark confusion discussions about the differences between Australia and America. So I hope you enjoy those little asides. Stacey and I decided to watch Scream because it's pretty much, I think, one of those modern classics that most people will usually put on during the Halloween season, but it's also one of those that is sort of timeless in that you can watch it anytime. You can, you know, when you find it on cable or whatever, HBO, and, you know, a lot of people will just end up watching it. And it's funny because it has a famous twist at the end, and you would think that because once you know the twist, that it would pretty much kill, you know, any enjoyment that you have or, you know, rewatchability. There's not a, you would think there wouldn't be the rewatchability, but there's so much to love in this movie, from the gore to the humor, to the meta aspect that it has. And, you know, I think it spawned, obviously it spawned a whole series of parody movies, which, you know, me and my sophisticated humor still enjoy. But, you know, I think it spawned a bunch of these types of horror films. So I think it's pretty revolutionary in that way. It's from director Wes Craven, of course, who knows his way around a horror film. So I hope you watch along with us. I think that Stacey watched it on DVD, and I bought the HD digital copy on Amazon for like $6. Of course, it being October, you could probably find it on something. I figure it's got to be somewhere. But, you know, I wanted to own a digital copy of it anyway, so that's where I bought it. So I hope you will throw in your copy or buy a copy and watch Scream with me and Stacey, and I hope you enjoy it. All right, so we're going to watch Scream, Stacey.
We are, Jenny.
This is like a modern-day classic, isn't that right?
It is. It really, really is. It's still one of my favorite horror movies.
It was just so, like, I was about 14 when this came out. How old were you when this came out? I know you're younger than me.
Yeah, well, what year did it come out?
It was like 96.
Well, I would have been like 6 years old.
Oh, so I fuck never, you.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I apologize. But yeah, I was super young, so I didn't see it like when it actually came out. But when I got a bit older, I saw it.
When did kids. Do you remember?
Not exactly, no. I would have been like a teenager at some point. I'm pretty sure I watched it with my mom.
Well, see, a movie like this was interesting to see in the theaters with a lot of people.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so like it added a little bit to the experience of watching the movie. Kind of like Blair Witch did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I never saw that in the movies either.
Yeah, see, that's...
Missed out.
That makes me sad for you.
I know. I've lived a very deprived life. I only started watching horror movies in the cinema quite recently, like in the last like 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. And most of them are terrible, so... But it is fun watching them in the movies, I agree.
Yeah. All right, so we have Drew Barrymore, of course, in the beginning part. You know, I thought she was really, really good. And it was shocking to see her die in the beginning. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah, I bet, because she was, like, the biggest star in the movie, at the time, as I understand it. And so, yeah, they did the old Hitchcock move of just killing her off straight away and confusing everyone. But, yeah, but it's, this whole opening is so fantastic.
It's so good.
So good. Like, not just because they kill off Drew Barrymore, but the whole idea of it, you know, because, like, introducing the phone call and, like, asking questions and doing the trivia and the voice on the phone, which is just so good. And the fact that they drag out the reveal, drag out the moment when you see the killer for the first time, because they just tease it constantly in this scene. This scene goes forever.
It does. I love that about it.
Yeah, right? And every time she looks in a window or opens a door or turns around or enters the room or the camera switches, you get like, oh, is this it? Oh, is this it? No. And they just keep dragging it out, but in a way that doesn't, like, diminish when it finally happens.
Yeah, and the house to me is like a secondary character. Like, they do so well, like, leading you all throughout the rooms that, I don't know, it adds so much texture to this part. And the long tracking shots.
Yeah, the tracking around the rooms. And then the big glass windows in the back and everything. You're just waiting for something to appear there all the time. And, yeah, and the popcorn, like, slowly starting to cook. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, it's, everything. So good.
I have a feeling that we're both going to get caught up watching this, like, for long stretches.
Like, yeah, and I just watched it, you know, the other day to prepare for this, but I still, like, wow. But it is, it's a really, really good opening scene, and, like, for a scene that is this long, you know, it really does go forever. Mm-hmm. They really just ratchet up the tension so well without, you know, without making it lame, because I find sometimes in horror movies, like, when they tease it too much, when they do too many, like, pretend things and jump scares and stuff, it's like they cry wolf too many times.
Right.
And so by the time it appears, you just like, yeah, okay, who's this one? Like, but this, it doesn't happen here. Like, you just keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And I think it's because of the conversation. Mm-hmm. I think it's because he's on the phone and they're having a conversation that, like, keeps it interesting and distracts you from, you know, the constant, like, teases, and it just, like, keeps it flowing.
It's terrifying that, you know, like, it's scary enough to think of being just, like, ambushed in your house, but to be, like, toyed with and played with the way that he just, like, basically mindfucks her before he actually kills her.
Yeah. And as the conversation goes along, and, like, the more he says and the creepier he gets, she sort of, like, slowly realizes that he actually... You know, like, this is real. It's like, because at first it's like, it's whatever, this is a joke, I'm going to hang up. But hanging up doesn't work, laughing it off doesn't work, and he just keeps going and going, and then she just ends up completely terrified. Like, she's already crying.
Oh, gosh. She's losing it.
Yeah.
When she turns on the lights and he's sitting up there. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. She does such a good job.
this is happening.
But then she's like, oh my god, I can't go outside.
Bitch, just run.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Like, even in this conversation, she already, like, mentions the fact that, like, oh, I hate horror movies because they always just run up the stairs when, you know, they should be running out and calling the cops. Like, it's so stupid. And then, because of how well he's terrifying her and how well he's, like, setting her up here, you know, she ends up locking herself in and running up the stairs.
Right. She plays it out.
Yeah, and just it's like, it's sort of like, by the end of the scene, it like shows her that it's not actually stupid, it's just the only option you have at the time to escape. And so it sort of explains, like, why it actually happens in the same sentence that it's kind of like making fun of it as well. Because that's the thing, this whole movie, like, they spend the whole thing, like, breaking down horror movie tropes.
Right.
And sort of poking a bit of fun at it, and mm-hmm. like, but at the same time, it doesn't take away from them when they actually happen in the movie as well, and it just it's a satire on horror, but also a good horror movie at the same time.
Exactly, yes, that's exactly right. And then once they do the parodies of this, you know, the parodies
like
of
the scary movie
parodies, yeah. it just doubles up on all that. Like, I love those parodies too.
Yeah, I haven't seen Scary Movie in so long.
It's been a long time, but that shit, I mean, probably parts of it doesn't hold up, but I have such a, like, base sense of humor at times that
yeah,
I can see that fucking working for me still. And and then plus, like, you remember, like, times where you watched it, and then that was funny, so you, like, are laughing about the memories as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The memory of watching the movie. And that's kind of like this movie. Yeah, I remember the experience of being in a theater. And I think we had like a group of people watching it together. And it just adds to it.
Oh, yeah. See, that'd be cool. Yeah, me and a couple of my friends, we are like the little horror movie crew. And we always, we basically go and watch like every horror movie that comes out in the movies now. And yeah, we have done like the last. And yeah, and it's so much more fun watching them in the movies and with people. And it's because one of my friends, she's absolutely terrified of horror movies. And she spends the entire movie, like, hiding under her jacket and not watching it. And so we go and watch her watch them because it's funny. And then my other friend, we're, like, too cool for school. And we're like, no, I'm not scared. And so we just sit there and make fun of the entire thing. And that's just, and, you know, and my friend. And so that's sort of how we watch it.
And you never get really scared?
I never get really scared, I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't mean to sound all, like, macho when I say that, because I'm really, really not. I am a famous wimp. But when it comes to horror movies, no, I don't super get scared during them. Like obviously, like, I get startled, like, if it's, like, a jump thing that comes up. Mm-hmm. But I don't sit there shaking and getting really super scared from them, really. I tend to, like, appreciate them and sort of, like, and if I think something is a really scary part or it's a really good, like, a well-made part, I'll end up laughing more than I'll end up being scared from it. It's like, oh, that was cool. Like, someone's head gets chopped off. Oh, that was cool. So that's how, you know, and yeah, and like I said, me and my friend, we are the annoying people in the scary movie that are sitting there in the cinemas going and giggling. And they're like, shut up, you're ruining it. Like, when we watched The Quiet Place recently, when that came out, mm-hmm. which is like a movie based on silence, we got shushed in The Quiet Place for speaking too loudly and ruining it for everyone
As
else.
You should. Hello.
I know.
Rude.
Because they were so quiet, we were still saying, why did she go back in? Why did she get up? Shh. Because it was, like, you know, because it was dead quiet the entire time, so... Oh, man. Yeah, so we're horrible like that. But that's just how we enjoy them.
Oh, another part of this whole opening is, like, she gets really close to, like, getting away.
Yeah, you know? She gets all the way. She's all the way out now, and she's running away from. And there's a car with two people driving up next door.
Yeah, well, it's her parents.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, her parents coming home. That's right, yeah. And, I love the way this plays out as well. Like, she almost escapes. And then we see him, like,
Oh, gosh.
What?
That is just brutal.
Snap the fuck out of her and strangle her.
Oh, God. It looks so real, right? The way they do it.
And it's funny to me watching it because, like, I know it as, like, a super famous, super successful, like, pop culture movie. Mm. And so when I go back and watch it, I just think, wow, this is actually really gory for, like, what this is. But I forget that, you know, it was just a horror movie when it came out. And so close. And then they go in the door and she can't scream because he's been choking her to death.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. That's such a great, like, near fall. And then...
And she's right there.
She's right there. God. And she takes the mask off and looks him in the face, but we do not see who it is. And then...
Oh, man.
And, yeah, and the bit where, like, she's around the back and the parents come in.
Yeah.
And are, like, looking around the house, calling out, and they don't know that she's just outside on the lawn.
Ugh.
Like, horrifying.
And, like, from a parent's point of view, I have that point of view now. It's like, if I drove up into this, it would just be, like, horrifying.
Yeah, and she's still on the phone, and then listening to her on the phone, like, gargling to death.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, this whole thing is just so fucking cool.
She says, the mom says, oh my god, I can hear her. Because she's still, that's rough. I'm like taking this really hard now.
Well, it's very traumatic. That's what I mean. It's like crazy, gory, horrific opening.
And the mom is just, like, losing it.
Yeah.
And then she sees her hanging up there. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, and then hanging there from a goddamn tree. Jesus. She is crazy.
It's genius. It's genius. Yeah. Like,
that whole opening. Like I said, and that's been forever. We've been talking this whole time. Mm-hmm. Things go on forever. And it was just such a great opening. Sets the tone for, like, the entire thing. And now we have Neve Campbell.
Oh, the virginal Sydney. Mm. And her pristine room and her lace curtains.
And creepy Skeet Ulrich.
Yes. Creepy, also hot.
Oh, yeah. No, Hachi-Machi Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah, for real.
But, the longer this goes on, he's just so creepy all the time that I'm just like, dude, just calm down.
I
think the first time I saw this, like, when I was a teenager, I was like, Skeet Ulrich, Hachi-Machi. Not that I would have said Hachi-Machi 10 years ago. But, yeah, and now I'm just like, man, just relax. Just have a cookie or something. Calm down.
Well, he's horny.
So broody.
And he's well, I can't say. I don't want to spoil this movie.
We'll
eventually, but...
I was going to say, because throughout this movie, there is lots of foreshadowing of things.
Yes.
Now that you know what's going to happen.
Hmm.
Because, I mean, The Exorcist was on, and I was thinking of you.
Aww, that's the sweetest thing you've ever said to me.
And then he turns it into a metaphor about how their relationship is too PG, right. And he wants it to be R-rated. And so, like, please bang me now. Like, what a teenage boy thing to say.
He was like, 2 years ago, you seemed like you were going to fuck me. And
then not. And then your mom died.
And then your mom was brutally murdered. And then you didn't want to fuck me anymore. Like... What kind of, like, virgin are you?
Well, a committed one, obviously. Mm. She doesn't want to die in this movie, that's why. Like. Yeah.
Yes, but that is one of the rules, isn't it?
One of the rules, as we will find out later. Like, do what it says.
And also, I love how old that they look for high schoolers. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even
everyone
now,
in this movie
it looks...
is, like, years old, yeah.
Yeah, it looks not realistic. Tatum is probably the only one that maybe still sort of looks like a teenager to me.
Yeah. I think she may have been a bit younger than the rest of them.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
A lot of them were, like, in their late 20s by now.
Late 20s. It's like as soon as... Because she's like, okay, let's make out. And then as soon as he, like, puts his hand on her thigh, she's like, ah, oh, never mind.
Yeah, well, you know...
He stops, though, which is good.
Consent can be rescinded at any time. Exactly. This is a lesson for the kids out there. Mm-hmm.
See, and that's why you don't think he's the murderer, because he stopped, you know, when she said. But he still does get the boobs flash, though, so.
You gotta leave him with something. See, I just watched 10 Things I Hate About You, and there was a boob flash in that, too.
Yes, there
apparently
is.
Apparently it was the go-to move for the... teenager in the 90s.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, I wouldn't know, but... Like, there's no point flashing my boobs. I don't have any. Be a futile gesture.
Well, you have been to New Orleans, so... there might have been some boob flashing that night, right?
There may have been. But, you know, what happens in New Orleans...
Goes on all the podcasts at PTBN.
Yeah. Stays between everyone not named Scott Criscoli.
All right, so we're at school now with all the definitely young people.
Young school age people.
Yes.
And we see our first shot of Courtney Cox. In her lime green outfit.
Yes.
Hello, 90s.
She's pretty hachi-machi in this one, I think.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't do a lot for me, personally. But she looks good in this movie. She looks good in the first two. In the third Scream movie, she has the worst haircut in
cinema history. Is it the bangs one?
Yeah, the horrible bangs.
Oh, God. Bless her heart.
Oh, my God. Who sent her out there like that?
I don't
know.
That
was just... That must have been a rib. But, yeah, but she looks... She looks good in the first two movies. So that's fine.
Oh, man.
She's staring at the dead girl's empty chair. Devo.
That is like the... I don't know. In the 90s, did they still have desks like that? It seems sort of old-fashioned.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't speak to the Americans.
Yeah, I know you can't.
Because We definitely didn't have desks like that. We just had normal desks with tape, like with chairs behind them. They weren't attached. Which, thank God, by the way, because I'm left-handed. I would have struggled like shit with like those
desks.
Yeah. They're on the wrong side.
They
discriminate against left-handed people. And so I'm quite lucky that never happened. I had them in uni, but not in school.
All right, so we saw Deputy Dewey there for the first time.
And Henry Winkler,
principal.
Mm. Everyone is in this movie.
Pretty much, yeah. Although, because, yeah. I mean, a lot of them didn't really go on. I mean, like, Nev Campbell did, but... I mean, for the most part, they don't have lasting careers, right?
Yeah, not so much. Well, I mean, Matthew Lillard has been in a lot of movies, but maybe not like super big.
TV, I guess, maybe, is where a lot of them ended up.
Yeah, because like Rose McGowan,
she
was on Charmed, right?
Yeah, but I'm not sure when that Charmed started. This might have been after. Maybe not.
I don't know. No, I think Charmed was after this.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, don't quote me on that. And then Skeet Ulrich and And Jamie Kennedy.
Charmed was 1998, so yeah, it was after this.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, like, the big stars are actually the adults. Mm-hmm. Like, mainly Courtney Cox, I guess.
Right, that's true. And of course, you know, Deputy Dewey had some fame in WCW, I think.
Mm, yeah, well, that's former WCW heavyweight champion of the world, David Arquette. Have you actually seen that when he won the title?
I have not seen that. I've heard many podcasts about it, but I have not. Well, I say many podcasts. I mainly mean Tony Schiavone talking about it. But no, I have not seen it. And yes, I will watch it one day.
Actually, now that I've said that, I actually haven't watched the match where he won the title.
Really?
I haven't seen a lot of WCW in general. I haven't seen a lot of like the late 90s trash stuff, to be honest. So, And I mean, I really have no interest in watching it as a match, so I just haven't got around to it.
That sounds like something we need to do eventually.
Maybe we should put it on the live watch schedule.
Yeah.
Or we should just watch it.
Remember Jenny Learns Wrestling when that was a thing that we talked about? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad that we did that.
Yeah. So glad that we talked about doing that and then did not.
Well, it's just, there's too much life.
Yeah.
I'm like struggling to write my one Divas thing every week. So I have all week. But yeah. And you've got, like, 58,000 million podcasts at the moment.
Approximately,
from what
yes.
I understand. Approximately. Mm-hmm. Just round it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she has a gorgeous house. I love her house. It is sitting on, like, this perfect hill with that perfect view.
Yeah, right?
It's amazing.
It's gigantic, too.
And they don't spend a lot of time in her house. It's kind of, like, a waste of a location.
Yeah. The waste of a great house.
Mm-hmm. I'm weird, though, because I get into that sort of thing, like, in movies, and, like, I'm real, like, aware of the houses in the movies.
Fair enough.
Even though it has god-awful wallpaper.
Yeah, well.
Still super nice for the 90s.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And this is where she turns on the news and we learn about the backstory. There's always a backstory. And we learn about her mom got killed by someone a few years ago. No, a year ago, wasn't it?
I think so.
I think during the movie, I think it's like the anniversary of her death. And that plays into...
Yeah, a year ago.
So yeah, it was a year ago. And yeah, and we have Courtney Cox reporting on the story, and yeah, there's always a backstory, and I never care about it. I'm just like, someone's always has a traumatic past.
Well, it's very important, though, to the plot.
They all, like, have nightmares and visions about, and that's why they're the chosen one. I'm just like, oh, whatever. Honestly.
And she's so distressed that she just lays down and falls asleep.
Has a nap. I can relate.
Yeah, you know?
Hmm. See, here I can relate to this. It's 3 o'clock, I better have a nap.
That sounds right.
Pretty much.
Such a pretty shot there. I think this movie only takes place over a span of, like, 2 days? 2 or 3 days?
Yeah, it's a very short space of time. Because, yeah, it's... Yeah, I think it is 2 days. Because I think it's... Yeah, today
she
and tonight.
This,
and now
this night. And she's going and then, to Tatum's this night. Is that right? And then they do the party the next night? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's right.
So that's it.
If you were going to be any character in this movie, which one would you be realistically?
Which one would I realistically be?
Yeah, which one?
Probably, like, Courtney Cox's cameraman.
Ah!
In the sense that he's just minding his own business, and then as soon as he comes within the vicinity of the killer, he just dies straight away. I have zero survival instincts. I would just die.
Yeah. I like
Who would you be?
I would probably be Tatum. Yeah.
I see.
I guess,
for
yeah.
what reason?
Huh?
For what reason?
For what reason?
For what reason?
Sarcastic bitchiness.
Fair enough. I'll pay that.
And also, like, dying in the way that she dies is, like, the most ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really good.
I can see that happening.
That's a good death scene.
She's
there are a lot of good death scenes.
Yeah, there are a lot of good. But she's, like, so... She's so sassy. That her whole death scene, she's so sassy until she
Yes,
died.
Yes. That is exactly how you would do it, too. Someone would be stabbing you, and you would be like, dude, come on. You can do better than that.
And she
right. yeah.
she plans the party, right? She dies going to get alcohol, so... There you go.
So this character was based on you.
Yeah, she was based... It's a true story of my life.
Wow. That's amazing. I never knew that fact about this movie.
Right. Yes. It's
cool. We got scoops. We got scoops here on the Freak Out Drive-In.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually a ghost. I'm the ghost of Tatum. So, my secret's out now.
Ghost Tatum. Well, here we go. Things are being revealed here on this podcast.
Another good scene, like... where you see the way that he's playing her, the way that he played Drew Barrymore in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
But she seems a lot smarter to me straight away.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because, you know, I guess because her mother got killed and she's sort of like, you know, like her survival instincts do kick in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, yeah, a lot smarter about it. And gets it. And that's the thing, I like about the killer in this movie is that he's very, very human, if that makes sense. Like, he's got the scary mask on, and he's scary in that sense because he's got the creepy mask on, the hood, and you can't see it, and also, you know, the creepy voice, and he's trying to kill you. But when it actually comes to, like, being in the same room with him, he's very, very human, and he, like, runs and trips over things and, like, flails around, and he misses, and when he's actually chasing them, he's very, very human and very... not vulnerable, I guess, but, like, he's just like another person who happens to be, like, chasing after you, trying to stab you, and it sort of shows that, like, a normal human being doesn't have, like, you know, supernatural abilities to kill you. It's just someone running after you with a knife trying to stab you, and sometimes they miss, and sometimes, you know, that you're in a fight and it doesn't work out like that. So I think the whole, every single, like, death scene, it involves the killer, like, tripping over or, like, fucking up in some way, and I think that's really... Like, I actually like that about it, how human and...
And it feels like an emotional kill, like, as opposed to somebody like Michael Myers or, like, Jason, who is sort of robotic and trying to chase you. This guy seems frantic in it. Like, you know, there's a reason he fucking wants to kill you.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think, again, with the voice as well, because you hear his voice and you hear how angry he gets when he's, like, on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Kill you. Like, and so, yeah, it gives it a lot of emotion. You're right.
So genius, too. Like, when you end up finding out the true nature of the killers and, you know, everything just falls into place.
But the fantastic thing about it is how you suspect everyone in turn as well throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's these moments because, like, this chase just happens here and then, you know, she's being chased by the killer and then the next minute Skeet Ulrich climbs through the window and she's like, oh my god, he's the killer, and you think he's the killer, and then she runs out the front door and then Dewey is holding the mask up and you're like, oh, and she's like, oh, you know, oh shit, you know. And so these things happen throughout the movie that make... you know, someone be suspected at every turn, or make us suspect them, mm-hmm. even if the other characters don't see it, like little moments that happen that will come up soon enough. Yeah, the way that they keep you guessing and actually go through everyone suspiciously in turn before you find out who it actually is, I think it's really cool.
So, like, when you watched it, because, like, it was already a thing by the time you watched it, did you already know the killer? Or was it a surprise to you?
Yeah, the first time I watched it, I wouldn't have known who the killer was.
Okay. So I feel like it was pretty much a not well-kept secret. You know, like, I felt like... Maybe it's just because I'd seen it, but... I feel like everybody already knew by that time.
Well, I think I'd heard about the movie, but I don't think I knew enough about it to know who the killer ended up being until I actually watched it. So I think it would have been a surprise to me the first time. Yeah. Which is nice, which is the way you want it to be.
Exactly.
Oh, there I am.
I do like David Arquette quite a bit in this movie.
Yeah, I do. He's, you know, look at his dorky little face.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing about David Arquette. Not only is he a former WCW
of the world,
but him and Courtney Cox met on this movie,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up getting married,
mm-hmm.
which basically puts David Arquette. I mean, look at this goofy face with his mustache. Like it puts David Arquette in like the Punching Hall of Fame as well, because. Like punching above his weight, I mean. Because, you know, look at this woman, and this dork ends up with her, and they get married, like, in real life.
Right.
But yeah, he is really good in this movie. I enjoy him in these movies.
Well, there's Stacy the cameraman.
There I am. Just doing me job.
Just try not to get killed. Oh, wait, never mind.
Just wandering unobtrusively in the van so nobody tries to kill me, but then accidentally getting killed anyway. So that sounds pretty much like what would happen to me.
Oh, I love seeing these computers from the 90s. Brings back so many memories.
Yeah. Well, even I had an old giant computer.
Yeah. Like at my school, that was what they had, and... just
yeah same.
Oh god.
But yeah, and I like how they do this. Like, Skeet Ulrich is so creepy all the time, and then he gets suspected and arrested for the murders, and so you're like, well, it can't be him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just... and then you get all the misdirection that happens from this point forward.
Because he looks like he's telling the truth. Like, you do want to believe him.
Yeah. Yeah, you believe him, but at the same time, like, because he's, like, got that look on his face, you're like, oh, maybe he's creepy, you know. But then, but then you're like, well, yeah, believe him. And then, oh, yeah. There I go to work. Yeah, Courtney Cox is really good at this, too. Because, like,
she is really good.
So annoying. In a good way.
Yes.
In a way that she's supposed to be. But you could see exactly why Meade Campbell wants to punch her.
Kenny comes to the van and says, are there any donuts in there?
See, again.
Yes.
This is me. I literally have a packet of donuts in this room. As we speak. Father Death. Costume's called.
Oh man, poor Sid. She don't even know how bad it's about to get.
Listen.
Have you ever gone as the ghost face from Scream for Halloween?
Okay. I hate to do this now, because we always do this seemingly every time we talk now. I've never gone as anything for Halloween.
Does Halloween not exist in Australia?
It doesn't super exist in Australia. Like, it does now. The last couple years, it's sort of blown up a bit, and there's, like, lots of Halloween garbage in every store in October, and, like, they, you know, sell costumes in the shops all the time and stuff like that, and it's on telly, and everyone gets into it now, because I think the more and more Americanized we become, which is just a constant process, it's getting a lot bigger. But when I was a kid, it, like, it basically didn't exist.
What?
Yeah. Like, it's never been a thing here until very, very recently.
Like, how, like, recently?
Like, the last, say, couple years, 5 years.
Jesus, really?
Yeah. Because I think now with, like, the internet and social media and stuff and just, like, all the Halloween talk on every platform is, like, constant. And we, like, you know, get it, you know, on TV. They play all the movies and stuff like right. that. Now it's become ubiquitous because we, like, are on the internet with so many Americans and stuff like that. Now it's become a thing. And, like, people want to do it and people like dressing up and it's become a thing that everyone wants to do. So now it's getting bigger and bigger. But, yeah, no. Like, I mean, I have lived in this house all my life. And I would say there have been maybe 3 or 4 years in my whole life that we have actually had trick-or-treaters come to the door.
That is amazing.
Max. Yeah. Like, half the time I buy some, like, chocolates and lollies and stuff in case someone knocks, and then no one ever does.
Then you have to eat all the chocolate and lollies yeah, for yourself.
That's
rough, man.
Man.
That blows my mind. Like, I did not even think to ask you that. But, like, I'm glad that I did. Because that is insane.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, you wouldn't be aware because, you know, like, Halloween is so ubiquitous in America now. It's constantly, as soon as October starts, all I see everywhere is just Halloween stuff. Now, it's like a whole month. But, yeah, it's not super big here. Like, it's starting to get that way now. Because you get a lot of, like, older people going, fuck off, mate, we don't do Halloween here, it's not America. Like, seriously.
Such a welcoming people. But, so, have you never dressed up?
I have dressed up for things, for, like, themed things.
Uh-huh.
But I can't think of a specific time that I've dressed up for Halloween.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure I haven't. The only time I've dressed up is, like, dressed up for, like, a themed party or something. So, yeah, I've never had to dress up in, like, a scary...
So, do you have plans to dress up this Halloween?
I do not.
Well, I because think you I should had, go I had, as the ghost face killer from Scream.
Yeah, but go to what? Go where?
You should go trick-or-treating. You're tiny. You can pass for a child.
I'm tiny.
You're tiny.
Babe, I'm 5'10". 28 years old.
Whatever, you're a tiny, large male child. But you'll be covered up, so nobody will know.
It's so funny you say that, because, like, I actually do, when I'm, like, I'm 28 years old, okay? I'm very much an adult. And whenever someone knocks on the door at home, like, to, like, sell something or whatever, and I want them to go away, I just kind of put my little 5-year-old girl voice on and be like, oh, I'm sorry, my parents aren't home, I can't help you. And then they believe me and believe that I'm still a teenage child on my own at home and then, like, leave me alone. So it works. There are advantages to having this 5-year-old girl voice. I do it on the phone all the
even
time.
Even more someone reason like, to go out and trick or treat.
Just pretend to be a giant baby.
You could do it.
But speaking of Halloween, I'm not dressing up, but I am going to something Halloween related, and that's what I wanted to tell you while we're doing this today. It's the afternoon now, actually. It's tonight, me and my friends are going into town to see Jamie Lee Curtis live and in person doing, like, a Q&A thing and then premiering the Halloween movie in Sydney.
Really?
Yes.
Well, fuck, that's awesome.
Fuck, I know, right? I know.
Jamie, so, yeah, so I've actually seen that movie, and she's awesome.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, that's why I didn't want to talk to you about it until I've seen the movie. Yeah. So I know you've seen it already. Yeah, but I'm going to see it tonight after I see Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's
talking
awesome.
About whatever. So yeah, I'm super looking forward to this. It's going to be awesome.
Why can't I live in Sydney, even though they don't have Halloween?
Babe, you live in America. Everything is in America. Like, the one time that we get someone to come here.
Not in my part of America. There's no Jamie Lee Curtis.
Well, that's true. Well, you know, I live in a capital city, what could I say?
Yes.
The bustling hub of Sydney. Well, it is.
Always think of Finding Nemo.
What?
Always think of Finding Nemo.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's a pretty accurate representation of what Sydney's like.
I believe
it. Well, first of all, we're in cartoon. Everyone's been drawn.
Right, yeah, obviously.
We're all animated. And, yeah, there's a shark called Bruce. We say hi to him. He's cool.
Okay, we're not talking about this movie at all. So, Sydney punched out Gale Weathers in the face in an awesome scene. And then she gets another creepy phone call at Tatum's house when she's spending the night there. And then she goes back to school, and Gale Weathers is harassing her mercilessly. Yeah. And the
That's
reason
what I mean.
For
she's
that...
She's a really good piece of shit in this.
Oh, yeah, she's terrible.
Yeah. And now we start to get all of the kids at school dressing up in the three masks and running around like fucks to terrify Sydney, which is really mean. To be honest, like, oh my god.
I've always been a real fan of Rose McGowan's outfit in this scene. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it works. It works on her.
Yeah, well, like, outfits aren't the first thing I notice, but I do agree.
Yes.
Being the fashion enthusiast that I am.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, no, but I agree. She does look good in that.
And Sydney's just, like, slowly breaking down. No idea what is happening.
Mm. Yeah, this poor kid, all these assholes in, like, masks running around her, like dickheads.
I do like Neve Campbell, but I don't... I find her dialogue sometimes to be, like, very stilted. Like, she'll talk in, like, phrases and pause in weird spots.
Yeah.
Like she can't get it out. I don't know. It's sort of annoying.
Yeah, I feel like she probably has an excuse because she's, like, perpetually traumatized in this movie. But, now that you've said that, yeah, it's... See, even she just needs to calm down a bit. See, this is the problem with horror movies. I just sit here, like, chill as all get out and just be like, everyone just relax, man. Like, it's not that bad. Just calm down.
I mean, like, people are murdering. I mean, like, you try to get... Somebody try to murder you, but, like, you should still probably just calm down a little bit.
Just take a deep breath. It's okay. It's gonna be fine.
So you have this scene with Sydney and Billy, and he... You start to get a little more into, like, why he's a little bit creepy and why she's a little bit prudish.
Yeah. Yeah, because she, has lost interest in him now that after her mom died, she doesn't want to be touched. She's, like, closed off.
Not a dick move at all to, like, call her on that.
Oh, yeah, what
the next day, yeah.
Yeah, because he was doing a me and was like, can't you just get over it? dude.
Your mom died, but, like, you could still fuck.
And then, Henry Winkler, I like him in this, too.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's, like, waving the scissors at them really aggressively.
Yeah, I like
it. And he's like, whoa. And so, like, now it's his time to be suspected.
Yeah. Those scissors are wicked. Look at them.
They're insane. They're like shears.
Yeah.
And he's, like, when he runs the scissors down that guy's chest, like, dude. I hate to say it again, but just calm down.
People in Sydney must be, like, real chill.
It's like, you know.
Well, I wouldn't quite say that. I feel like it's more like it's just me. But, yeah. We are allegedly. As a people, mm-hmm. as a people, more chill than the average bears. But I mean, there are plenty of uptight assholes in Sydney, let me tell you. We have no shortage of them here.
I like these girls in the bathroom when Sydney's in there hiding out. Yeah. And they're so bitchy.
Maybe but she's just a slut like her mother.
Right. It's a really like fun and clever way to do a lot of expositional dialogue to like explain things where it doesn't feel like you're being like beat over the head with it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to mention before. Like the fact that her whole backstory comes out quite gradually.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get a hint of it when you first meet her, but they don't really explain anything about why she's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the first bite from the news about, oh, something happened to her mom, and then, oh, her mom was killed a year ago. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then Billy just explains, oh, you haven't touched me since your mom died, you know, and so you're like, oh, okay, that's what happened. And then you get the stuff from the girls in the bathroom, she was a slut, she did this, blah, 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 mm-hmm. and you're like, oh. So you're like, you just get the story piece by piece, like in a natural way, as it just comes up from the people in the story.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. It's nice.
Oh, and the great bathroom scene,
mm-hmm.
with like, you notice someone's hiding in the bathroom and you're looking under the stalls and shit. And, oh, classic shit. Is someone there? Yeah, that'll work.
You can't ever ask that.
Yeah. And again, it's another way in which they like tease out the moment where you're actually...
But I wonder, like, practically, how did he get in there? Because, like, we followed her in there. He wasn't already in there.
Or was he? Maybe he was hiding there the whole time.
But, like, how would he know?
Just waiting for the exact moment when she
would
go to the bathroom.
Maybe that's when Billy accosted her outside the bathroom so that she would run in there. Because he would upset her on purpose.
Exactly. See, it's all...
Because, like, there was no way he could have got in there unless he was already in there.
No, I think you're right. I think it was an ambush, mm-hmm. and the other killer mm-hmm. was hiding in the bathroom already, and he, upset her and lured her in there. Mm-hmm. Which is actually super clever.
It is super clever, and I've never thought about it ever before.
Me either, but now that you say that, that makes sense. That explanation makes sense.
And they have a lot of chemistry, Dewey and Gale Weathers.
I know, they're so cute together.
They really are.
To be honest. He's such a little dog with his little mustache.
And she's just so, like, she's seductive like, and...
Yeah, she has the power.
Full of shit.
Yes. Do you work out? Yes, for my wrestling career. For my wrestling career of the future, at this point. But yeah, oh, class is suspended. Boo.
Time to have a party.
What?
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, Tatum organizes this party.
You get kicked out of school. Your first thing is like,
you're just everybody, come to the house and we're finna party.
Let's get fucking pissed. Exactly.
Oh, her frosted hair.
Yeah.
She pulls it off, though.
Oh, yeah, no, she looks good in this movie. Like I said, the first two, she... When he gives her that, you think he's going to be like say something to her, then he's like, you look much prettier in person. Aww.
I was 24 for a whole year. That's really cute. That is an adorable line.
Yeah, the whole thing was really cute when they first like start flirting. And then like, Matthew Lillard is so insane in this scene.
Yes. He's, like, flying high off of, like, you know...
On something.
His deeds.
Like, that's true. The adrenaline rush of murder.
I've always liked how he picked her up and tossed her over her shoulder for some crazy reason.
Yeah, that's what I mean, for no reason. He's really, like, flying off the handle here. And the way he talks and, like, he's just so, like, weirdly aggressive and... He's... So again, it's like fun foreshadowing for later. That mm-hmm. like, yeah, he seems, when you stop and think about it, he seems pretty unhinged. But that could also just be misdirection. So like, you don't know. And then, oh my God, Henry Winkler putting the mask on.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what is happening? That's his turn.
Because you do kind of think like for a minute, like, oh shit.
Well, he really enjoyed waving those scissors.
Yeah,
around.
He did.
I'm saying. Oh, when he, like, scares himself in the mirror.
And this is just sort of like a one-off sort of thing. Like, it's not really...
It's not for any, it's purely for us.
Right, like, it's just
purely for the audience.
Like a one-off death that doesn't mean anything. Because yeah. Nobody ever acknowledges it for the rest of the movie.
Oh, no, but they do. I actually didn't notice this the first few times, but they do, because, later on, when they're at the party,
oh shit! That's right. Yeah,
saying that the prince was killed, and that's
yeah,
why everyone
leaves
off
right,
and
right.
leaves them alone in the house.
That's right.
So totally yeah, that's why he had to die here.
Totally forgot about that.
Hmm. Yeah, I only noticed it like yeah the other day when I watched it. Like, oh, so that's why all the kids suddenly disappeared. So I couldn't remember how they did that. Scaring the shit out of himself. And again, this is another one of those scenes where it's just like, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? No, and he just keeps like opening doors and looking in mirrors and turning around corners and scaring himself. But he's like the audience in this thing because he's the one like getting scared as he's doing it. Mm-hmm. And we're also like getting scared like, oh, is this it?
And also we see those giant ass scissors on his desk and like,
yeah.
He's definitely going to die with those scissors.
Hmm.
Oh, shit. Oh.
He got cut.
Yep. I wish it had been by the scissors.
But this guy brings his own knife.
Yeah, that's true.
It's more efficient that way, because you don't know, you know, if it's going to be a knife when you get there. And don't you hate that?
I do, so, yes. Whenever I'm on a murder spree, I just really hate it when my weapons aren't available to me in the scene.
I know, right? And you want to improvise, and it just takes so much time. So, like, golden rule, always bring your own weapon. That's what I always say. When I murder people.
Then you get this whole, like, Cotton Weary, which I think is a bomb-ass name. I've always loved that name. Like, who came up with that name?
Well, I don't know.
To name their... To name somebody Cotton is great. I don't know why.
Cotton.
It
doesn't sound as good when I say it, Cotton.
Yeah,
Cotton. But Cotton Weary is a good
one. Don't do Jenny voice better than Jenny, okay?
I wasn't. That wasn't my thing. It was just me, like, American in general. But now that you say that.
No.
I am Jenny. See, that's all I can do. I can just get you saying your own name. That's all I got. So I can't sustain it after that anyway. So you carry on. This. No, I like the scene of the video
store. I do too. Yeah, I do too. A lot.
Where Randy starts getting into like... Well, obviously he's the killer because blah blah blah, and like starts like working it out from a horror movie perspective. Mm. If you're so innocent, why are you standing in the horror movie section? And yeah, and again, like Matthew Lillard is just so extra.
He is.
He's so ridiculous. That's what I mean. Like, and you watch him and you just think, well, he's way too crazy to be the killer. Mm-hmm. Like, he's too much, and that's what sort of lures you in. Because it's always supposed to be the least expected person.
Mm-hmm.
But then it sort of comes around.
And then when you think about this scene in hindsight, when you know who the killers are, you're just like, appreciate it more because you can see him just toying with him and just like getting this secret like enjoyment out of the conversation.
Oh, exactly, yeah. And then he's the one who introduces like the idea, I think it's her father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that was their whole, you know, in the end that was their whole plan.
And his giant crush on Sydney, and then he just laughs in his face. I love how he points out that his body will come popping up in the last reel somewhere, talking about her dad.
Excellent foreshadowing.
Everyone is a suspect.
Well, it's true.
Oh, shit. And then Billy shows up looking
again,
super creepy.
Creepy shit, man. And yeah, and like you said, now in hindsight, when you look at them both, like, ganging up on him like
yeah.
this. So good.
So in this one scene, you've implicated both of them, well, all three of them, really. And
all three of them, and the dad.
And the dad, so.
It could be, and at this point, it could be one, you know?
I love this little part where, like, the whole town is just locking up all their shit. Just gotta get home. Sorry. Not this picnic. Not today, bitch.
Yeah. Like in the It Town when there's a curfew and the kids start crying.
Like, we all try not to die.
No, why don't we have a piss up instead? Kids.
Meanwhile, they're just going shopping for snacks for the party.
Yeah, let's just go to the shops. Yeah. There's a great joke in here in this conversation talking about, like, what if this was a horror movie?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like Meg Ryan, and then she goes, oh, I'd probably end up being, like, Tori Spelling. And then in the sequel, they do cast Tori Spelling as the actor that plays her in the movie.
I love it. It's so good.
I love the references. And see, that's the thing. Like, now that I've actually started watching more horror movies, I understand a lot of these references better now. So, like, I appreciate this movie more now than ever.
I agree.
Because, like, there's one thing where she's having a conversation with someone, and then the other person's like, oh, what is this? Like a Wes Carpenter movie? Like, as in, like, Wes Craven and John Carpenter. And I'm like, now I get that. Now I know who these people are.
And even knowing the killers and as many times as I've seen this movie, it's still, I don't know, I still get sucked in every time.
Oh, yeah, no, me too. That's what I mean. Like, they do so well with, like, keeping the suspense and making you suspect everyone and not knowing who it is until the end. Like, it's just really well made. Because it could be Dewey. It could be Dewey because he's not suspicious at all, but he's hanging around all the time. You know.
And he just is innocently eating a strawberry ice cream cone in the scene. It's just like, so unnecessary, but it just adds this touch of, like, ridiculous. Because they're, like, police officers having a discussion about a case.
Yeah, just rando eating an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Like, sure. and stay close to Sid, so it's like he has an excuse to be hanging around all the time.
I'm trying to think if I ever suspected him. I think I probably did. Even though I found him super charming, like that could be, you know, an act.
Exactly. Like he'd be like the one that you least expect. Like I think the first time I like sort of suspected everyone in turn and then, you know, and then found out. But like, yeah. And I think also in the sequel, like in Scream 2, I mean, there's a moment where, like, he actually gets suspected by the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, again, he's just hanging around all the time.
Right, he shows up right when all the shit goes down.
Yeah, and so they're like, well, you conveniently popped up right here, you know, right now. And so, yeah, he gets suspected in the sequel. For real.
I love this house, man.
Yes. See, lots of good houses in this. Good, lots of good stats. Lots of good, like, lots of rooms and big glass windows mm-hmm. and doors to open and, yeah, lawns to, like, creep through.
So Gail Weathers is gonna be on a stakeout at this party. Intrepid reporter that she is.
Oh, exactly. She's
gotta
just doing
admire
her job.
It. Yep.
And I'm just, you know, I'm just there to film the action.
Yeah, yep. Go get the camera, bitch.
I'm sorry, I'm trying. I'm driving the truck. I've got to get my camera. You know, I have a lot of things to do right now. I'm just trying to keep busy. If I just stay in the background, I obviously won't get killed. I wear my hats like that too. So yeah, this guy's definitely me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to start calling you Kenny.
How come Jamie Lee Curtis is in all these movies? I'll ask her when I see her tonight, Sydney.
Yes, please do. Are you going to get to talk to her for real?
No, I don't know. I think we're just going to be in the crowd while she answers questions. I don't know if it's audience questions or not.
That would be cool.
But yeah, I'm very excited. He's being boys. And then, like, Dewey is so, like, not reading the room that he just brings Gail into the party. Yeah. Sitting there. He's just so enamored with her, like, ugh.
So do you think, so, okay, I mean,
yeah.
Do you think, which of the killers do you think ends up killing Tatum? Do you think it's
I worked it out last time I watched it. Now I've forgotten. When it gets into it, I'll figure it out. Because you can figure it out by, like, who's in what scene next.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't remember.
Well, so, like, he's there in the room with Gail.
Yeah, no, I think it must be Billy, because Matthew Lillard is in the room with all the other kids as this is happening.
Okay.
Right? Like, and then she goes down into the thing. But Billy's not there yet.
Okay.
Isn't he? And so he first comes in here and does this and kills her in the garage. And then
yes.
And then comes around and turns up to the party.
All right. There she is going in the garage with her erect nipples showing through her sweater.
Yep. And can I just ask, who puts a cat door on the garage door?
Yeah, that's weird. I've always thought
that was
weird. That's
the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
But, you know, I never had a garage growing up, so I thought maybe that's just what people did. If they had a cat that was an indoor-outdoor cat, I don't know.
I mean, I've never seen a cat flap on a garage door. Yeah. Like, especially the one that, like, goes up and down. Like,
yeah, it is weird.
It's super weird. But I think she's just going to go back inside and it will be fine.
That's definitely what's going to happen.
My prediction. And then the garage, the door starts going up and down. The lights flicker on and off. Yeah, this is fine. Oh, there he is! the other cool thing is that when she's like, oh, is that you, Randy? Like, stop fucking around. Because before, when... I think when Sid was on the phone, when she picks up the phone and the killer starts going on, she's like, Randy, stop fucking
around.
Yeah,
she does.
Because he's like the horror movie aficionado. So, like, when this happens, they're just like, oh, it's just Randy fucking around again. Mm-hmm. He always tries to scare us. And so it's like, oh, but they always think it's Randy. So he becomes another suspect, you know?
She's so sassy.
Yeah, she's still... He's like stabbing her. She's still like chat. Boom! Fucking love that freezer shot. Yeah, you've got balls there. Just glass him.
Yeah. She doesn't know it's real till she gets cut. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Boy, he bumps like a motherfucker, don't he?
Oh, he bumps like a tough guy. Yeah.
That beer to the face is excellent.
That's what I meant. Like, yeah, look, there are bottles in it. Just like glassy. if she was Australian, she just would have glassed it. The movie would have ended.
Oh, here comes.
Stuck in the fucking...
I feel like this is the best death of the movie.
It's so cool. She gets stuck in the cab.
Big ass boobs, like, just
hanging out.
Yeah.
Apparently, I read IMDb after I watched it, and apparently they had to literally like stick her to the door with glue so that she could fall out.
Oh.
And so, oh yeah.
Seeing her face get crushed gets me every time.
Oh, so good. It reminds me of the one in Final Destination.
Yes.
That's like that as well, which is fun. I love those movies as well, because they have too. Really fun death scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, I'm sorry, Jenny, you just died.
Well.
Hanging from the cat flap.
Well, it was a good run, you know, at least I died with perky-ass boobs and some sass.
And yeah, and you see, like, well... That's the way to go.
Right.
But yeah, you see, now Billy comes to the door and, like, enters the party for the first time. Mm-hmm. So he was definitely doing the killing while the other guy was in the room. So it was Billy who killed Tatum.
And it's like he didn't care at all. Like, I always wonder about him. Like, he knows that Tatum just died, but he just doesn't care.
No.
It just,
he's fucking psychopath.
Yeah. It's just, he's just totally fine.
Well, yeah, they're quite unhinged, as it turns out. He just hides it better than Matthew Lillard does.
Yeah.
Because he's just outwardly insane.
And why? Why does Sydney go up there with him? Like,
she's a fuckwit.
It's like the last interaction you had, you know, he was an asshole.
Yeah.
You don't want
to
see him.
And then he comes around, like... Let's go up to the bedroom.
Like, yeah, fucking, like, no.
Yeah, this is really stupid. And again, like, the fact that he is so aggressively trying to fuck her while she's, like, obviously not into it, like, right. The whole movie.
Yeah.
And now in hindsight, I'm just like, oh, man, yeah. He has no respect for women's bodies. Like, of course he's, like, fine with, like, killing people. Like,
I mean, she does eventually consent.
She slides.
But it's she after does. A lot of persuasion.
Yeah. He doesn't see her as a person. He just wants to fuck her.
And then murder her.
You just lost your mom. Get over it.
And he totally gaslights her into thinking that it's her fault. You know,
yeah.
You know.
For not being available to fuck it when she's perpetually traumatized. Right. Yeah. That's what I mean in hindsight. And yeah, and again, like, and even Matthew Lillard, when he, like, he's always really gross around the girls, and, like, he picks up Rose McGowan and, like, carries her around and stuff, and it's just, like, you see the way that they interact with women, and it's just like, ah, like, now, like, that's what I'm getting now as I watch it now. I'm just like, yeah, neither of them, there's just these little hints of, like, misogyny, and I'm like, see?
Mm-hmm. you know, plus all the murdering.
Well, that too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty archy-marchy in this.
Yeah, a little bit.
But he's just, you know, also a dick.
Yeah. Well, you know, one can be both.
Well, that's true. And like I said, when I was a teenager, I was probably all in on archy-marchy Skeetor Rink. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, I'm just like, ugh. But I suppose I'm not, you know, the best judge of men.
But there is a, you know, like, there is a thing about if there's a bunch of death around, then characters will have sex in order to feel alive or whatnot.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true.
So that seems
And then ironically, once they have sex, the more likely they are to be killed.
Yes.
So, like, it's just a perpetual cycle of people having sex and then dying, and then having more sex for the grief, and then dying again, and dying some more. This is why there are so many horror movies. Mm-hmm. Because this just keeps happening. It's just a constant spiral. Obviously. But now we get Randy explaining the rules of the horror movie. Like, if they had all just known this an hour ago, we wouldn't have. But now he decides to explain it to everyone.
Well, he's drunk enough to know what's up now.
Yeah, well, that's true. They just want to see some titty with their teenage boys. Allegedly.
See, that would be me also at the party. You know, if I wasn't dead Tatum in the garage, I would be there watching the
screen. Drinking at the party.
Yes.
Yeah. No, exactly. And that would be me pausing the movie to try to tell you some facts about things. When you all just want to watch some titties, so...
Tell us the rules, Stacey. What are the rules?
Rule number one, never have sex.
Boo.
Rule number two, never, ever, ever drink or do drugs.
Oh, God. Boo. I'm fucking dying.
Yes. And then sexy rule number three, dick. Never, ever say... You're coming right back. Because you won't be. And then Matthew Lillard is like, I'll be right back. He can say it. He knows he won't die. So.
Yes.
And then, oh, yeah, because Gail came in and planted the secret video camera.
She did. Sly
bitch. In the lounge room. Yeah. What a sneaky little... So they're just watching the riveting footage from the truck while they eat.
On a 30-second delay.
Yes, which turns out to be very important.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call Twisties? What is he eating?
Cheetos.
Cheetos, right.
Cheetos, right. What kind of pothead are you, Stacey, that you don't know Cheetos?
Well, I don't... Well, we have a different name for them.
What are they called?
Twisties.
Twisties. That's terrible.
I didn't make it up.
Okay? Very bread level terrible.
Hey. Hey, bitch. Do not you dare disparage the good name of the fairy bread.
I made fairy bread. It was horrible.
No, that is wrong. What do you mean it was horrible?
It was fairy bread. Is a piece of bread with butter and sprinkles on it, which is the most ridiculous combination of ingredients ever.
It is an Australian delicacy.
And it tasted like buttered bread with, like, crunchy bits on it. Like,
that's... Well, wrong. It should taste like sunshine and rainbows and everything good. So you obviously did it wrong.
I missed the fairy cum or whatever you need for it. Is that like the secret Australian ingredient that I missed?
Possibly.
You'll mix that in your butter.
Oh, man.
All right, we get a hot sex scene here. I mean, like, as hot as the virgin sex scene can be, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
While everybody else drinks and watches movies downstairs.
Yeah. You get Jamie Lee Curtis sighting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah, and then here is where they get the phone call about the principal's been killed.
Yes. Because the party had already, like, kind of thinned out, and these are just, like, the sort of scragglers.
Yeah.
And then now
And then they're
like,
let's go and check out the dead principal.
Yeah.
Like,
which,
my God.
Can't
that is some
cold-ass
shit. That is some cold-ass shit right there.
I probably would have done that shit, too.
Obviously, Henry Winkler was not a popular principal.
Mm, absolutely not.
God.
You know, if Tatum's busty ass had been alive, she would have been trying to see that shit, too.
That's true. Yeah. Because you would have.
R.I.P. Tatum.
Tatum's
definitely gonna haunt that house now.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah, the setting for a future horror movie about the ghost of Tatum.
The ghost of Tatum.
Ghost Tatum. In cinemas now.
The new Scream spinoff.
The truck. Definitely me.
Oh, yeah, it's 100% you.
Yeah. Excuse me. So, yeah, all the other kids chuff off, and we just have, like, the main characters left in the house. Except the dead ones.
And then Dewey and Gale on a moonlight stroll down the driveway.
Yeah. Appropriate for this moment. I'm still mad about the fairy bread. Ruin the rest of the movie for me now.
Sorry.
And I thought maybe our two cultures could coexist, but alas.
Well, you know. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Oh, yeah, and they almost get run over. And then, boom, roll down into the gutter. And, oh, he lands on top of her.
It's so cute, though.
Oh. Nice little romantic interlude.
It really
in this
is.
Shit show. I'm sorry, I'm on duty. I'm sorry, I can't make out with people while I'm on duty. That's a rule. It's a police rule.
Then they find the dad's car in the woods.
Yeah, ooh.
And like, so they automatically assume that he's there to murder everybody.
Well, of course, it's the natural conclusion. But, I mean, the kids were already suspecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this whole idea that, you know, he was mad at the mom for cheating on him.
And it's the year anniversary of her death, so definitely. It triggered him.
Just went way off the rails.
So they're getting dressed and having awkward conversation after the virginity losing.
This is the most real part of the movie.
And she's like, you know, when you were, like, at the police station, who did you call with your one call? And he's like, well, I called my dad. She's like, yeah, well, I saw the...
Yeah, no, he was already, yeah.
Yeah, you're already saw, yeah, so that's not accurate. And he's like, well, I called, but nobody answered. She's like, I don't know about that. Something is fishy here.
Yeah, because she got a phone call.
Mm-hmm. At Tatum's house.
Yeah, that he was there, and now she's figuring it out. Yeah, you're very hard to suspect while you're making that face, man. I wonder why.
And then she totally guesses it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You could tell she just knows, you know?
Yeah, she knows now.
Even when she sees the other killer. So now you're freaking out because it looks like he's...
Yeah, because, like, you think... And again, even here, like, finally, she's figuring it out, and you're just like, oh, it was him the whole time. But then the killer walks in, and you're like, oh, well, obviously it's not him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just more misdirection even now. Oh, when he, like, wipes the blood off the knife,
I
like
love that.
That's
part.
So badass.
Yeah, it is.
And then we get more doors and rooms opening and chasing.
God,
and
he sells like a motherfucker, too.
Shawn Michaels bumps in.
Yes!
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, and I love that he, like, flops and flails around
so much.
He does,
great.
And bumps so much. Because it humanizes him. And you just, it reminds you that, like, underneath it is just actually, like, some rando, you know, teenager in a mask running around, you know.
And it's
like,
also, like, pretty funny.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I would be dead right now, crawling out the damn window.
Ugh.
Oh. How she doesn't die from that fall, I don't know.
It's the McFoley bump off the rooftop.
She bumps good too then, I guess.
That boat must have a lot of padding on it. There's a mattress on that boat. There you go.
Oh, she sees fucked up Tatum.
Oh, damn. Oh, that's so cool. See, that's what I mean. I'm just like, oh, this is cool. Start laughing. Oh, this bit I really like.
Me too.
When he's watching the movie, and he's like, look behind you, look behind you. The killer's behind him. It's funny that he's, like, calling her Jamie, but, like, his name is Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in real life, yeah. I just noticed that. Because I was about to say, Jamie, can't you turn around? But he was saying that.
Oh, the killer gets distracted. She can't figure out how fences work.
Well, she's going through a lot right now.
Stacy's sleeping in the van, eating chips.
Yep. Still me. I've crashed. But and so the fact that they're watching this on like 30-second delay.
Yeah, it's so smart.
And
I love that
part. You already know, like, what's happening.
Right.
Like, it's already happened, and they're, like, going through it in, like, after the fact. Like, oh.
And you know he's about to get it. Oh!
And then,
gross. Oh! Slash. Genius.
Yeah, see, that's me. The minute I step out of the van, boom, I'm dead. That's, yep.
Oh.
Lucky her denim jacket is so thick. Thank you, 90s fashion. That's a survival tip.
You saved Sydney Prescott.
More crawling out of things.
And then he tries to follow her. Like, bitch, you were already outside the van. Why?
Just go back out the door. Courtney Cox having to run through the dirt in his heels.
Yep. I think on IMDb, I think I read that it took like 20 days or some shit to shoot all this because they had to do it at night, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And so they had to... It took forever. Yeah, there's a lot to do.
There's a lot in this scene as well. Mm-hmm. Like this whole, you know, party scene, I guess, goes for ages.
So many rooms and all that shit.
Yeah, and like going, you know, running around outside and then back in and then out and in, you know, and everything. Yeah, very involved. I can imagine it took a while. And that was the other thing, because when Tatum was, like, hanging from the garage door, she kept, like, falling out of the cat flap, and they had to, like, literally, like, glue her into the door. And so she had to, like, hang there in the door for, like, every take forever while they did it. Like, for hours.
That's insane.
Poor kid. Nope, I'm sorry, I'm dead. I'm already dead, huh? You just don't know it yet.
just had a flash to Sherry O'Terry as Gail Weathers in the parody in Scary Movie. She's like, kitty movie fat ass.
That's what she fucking says in this one. Like, she's so messy.
Oh gosh. Now I'm gonna have to watch Scary Movie again.
Yeah, well, now I'm gonna have to watch Scary Movie again because I don't remember much about it.
She beats the shit out of Randy with that giant ass belt.
Oh, and then the windscreen.
Yeah, full of blood. That's good.
And then, there he is. Oh, it's so cool. There I am.
Oh. Why did he put him on the roof?
I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, sure. Got time for all that.
Yeah. Well, why did they do anything? You know, like, they didn't have to hang Drew Barry from a tree, but he did for fun.
You know, that's true.
He wanted to, like, keep her guessing and, like, not find him for ages. And then suddenly, oh, there he is on the roof. Boom! Hit the tree.
Everything's just fucked up now.
Yep.
I really, really like this sequence when she goes in the car. Is this the car part? No, it must be later. Shit.
Yeah, that's later. This is where, he turns around and there's a knife in his back.
Yeah.
That's it. And now another chase around. Now she gets in the car. Quick, lock the door.
I don't know why I like that. I guess it's like such a panic reaction.
Yeah, it is, and it's like it's so claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. Like, locking yourself in there while he can see you because it's all glass.
And she has to roll up the window by hand.
I got the keys.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I do love that part where he teases her with the keys.
Yeah.
And then he goes such a fucking bullshit. So good.
And then it's like, where the fuck is he? And she doesn't see him opening the boot.
Yeah,
This movie is so good.
It is so good.
And then it's like, once you lock yourself in the car, it's like, you're inevitably going to be trapped in the car with him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ugh. Mm-hmm.
But she finds her way out. It's impressive.
She's a survivor, man. Mm-hmm. She ain't fucking around. She didn't run up the stairs like Drew Barrymore. And now she just, is paranoid and just thinks anyone who's alive has done it.
I don't blame her.
She can't trust anyone, so she just...
All right. We're fixing the climax, Stacey.
Boom! Sorry, guys. Sort it out yourselves.
Fuck you both.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, and here's Billy.
Yep.
He's not dead! But he's fucked up and falling down the stairs.
Yeah, he does a great job of falling down the stairs, too.
Yeah. And he's covered in blood.
He almost killed himself doing that fucking shit.
Yeah. he's another one that bumps like a... That's another clue, because he also bumps like a motherfucker.
That's true. You're right.
And he's more foreshadowing.
Yeah. You kind
I love
of,
it here.
You know?
He reveals himself. And he's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, that look on his face. Holy shit.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
So as it turns out, he didn't get stabbed at all. He just gigged.
Yeah, he bladed. For sure. Yeah.
Oh no, he used the Roman Reigns fake blood.
Yeah, it's corn. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh, and there's Matthew Lillard. And
oh,
now he's...
no. There are two murderers, Stacy.
Da, da, da.
Holy shit. Surprise, Sydney.
Surprise, Sydney.
So were you shocked?
I was. I mean, it's hard to remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure I was. I didn't know who it was going to be in the end. And like I said, they sort of keep, even after she figures it out, they still kind of keep going round and round. And then you think he's dead as well, mm-hmm. until he comes down the stairs. So you're like, well, it can't be him. But then, boom!
And then he taunts her about having sex with him. God
yeah,
damn.
Yeah, it turns out you're a dumb fuck.
Yeah. So they've all gone crazy, and they've decided that they're obsessed with horror films.
Hmm. And then he reveals to her that he killed her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Cotton Weary is innocent.
Mm-hmm. He was framed.
Hmm. They are masterminds. They are officially evil geniuses now.
Also, do you get, like, a vibe between them two? Like, they've, like, Billy and Stu definitely been fucking this whole time, too?
They do seem like that at points, don't they? Like, they're very affectionate.
Yeah, they're, like, very touchy-feely with each other.
Mm. So, I mean...
And obviously, they've spent a lot of time together being insane and psychotic. And, you know, that's a bonding thing. You know, planning murders, it seems like it would bond you.
Yeah.
And then, like, that would turn physical at some point.
Yeah, just to release the tension, you know. But all that, you know, energy, that emotional energy you're building up.
I mean, yeah, because he wasn't fucking Sydney, so...
He had to let it out somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
So, yeah, that makes sense to me. I'm pretty sure they're fucking.
I like it. Headcanon accepted. So he has
money. Well, hey, I love a good gay headcanon. I'm always there for that, so...
So yes. His dad was having sex with her mom, and that's why his mom left him.
Yes.
So all of that obviously means that it's Sydney's fault.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her mom.
And her mom.
You know, the slut.
Mm-hmm. So he definitely had to kill the mom, and then a year later definitely fuck her and then kill her in an elaborate scheme where he killed a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the only logical thing to do.
I agree.
Really. Yeah, it just makes sense. And Matthew Lillard is, you know, like, just along for the ride.
Yeah, he's just fucking crazy.
He's just a fellow traveling psychopath.
Right, exactly. Like, it was, like, probably dormant in him, you know? And then...
Yeah, but he needed, like, Billy to bring it out.
Right, yeah. Until they concocted all of this. I want to see that movie, you know? I want to see...
the prequel.
Yeah, I want the prequel.
Mm.
So they reveal that the dad, they've had him in the basement this whole time. So they're all...
Yeah.
They're going to frame him the way that they framed Cotton.
But I think the flaw in the plan is that they explain this whole... plan to kill Sid and then frame the dad and then and pretend that they were also victims.
Right.
But then they start stabbing each other.
Yes.
Before they actually kill the other people.
Yes. That's my favorite part.
Plan.
I love it when they stab each other. God, and I love it.
Ow! Fuck!
Because they both, I think they enjoy stabbing people so much, they just get
carried away.
Yeah,
they just do it too hard.
Oh,
and then they're like,
God.
Oh, shit, sorry.
I love the way he says, God damn it, Stu.
It's like they can't just do a little light, gentle stabbing. They just have to be like, oh, sorry.
Everybody dies but them. They get to carry on and plan the sequel.
Yeah, you gotta have a sequel. See, again, more deconstructing.
They just stab each other.
Because they do. So funny.
So good.
And then when Matthew Lillard is like, I'm feeling woozy.
Woozy, man. So great.
So good. And then like, oh, where's the gun?
Oh, they're someone's just covered in blood. It's so good.
Where's the gun? Yeah. Boom! Courtney Cox, bitches.
She's pretty badass.
YouTube dipshits. Oh, I thought you said that.
Foils the plan, saves the day.
Yeah. Her and Sid finally come together as they fight for their lives. Oh! And she takes a big pole bump and then lands on Fort Dewey. Oh, see, they're still together. They're so cute. Oh, when he does that neck crack.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's the most horrible part of the movie for me. Like, the killing, fine. But, like, don't crack your neck like that.
Oh, no. Sid has run away.
What now?
You dumb asses.
Matthew Lillard's losing too much blood here.
Yeah, he's fucked up. He's coughing up blood. I'm hurting, man.
Hello.
Yeah, I really love how she turns the tables on them.
Right, yeah, there. Should I let the machine get it when the phone rings?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she does it back to them. This is a very cool payoff to all the phone stuff.
You cut me too deep. He's just...
Yeah. He's just... Cut me too deep. I'm dying here, man. And then he, like, picks up the phone.
Yeah, he's like, oh, fuck.
Hello?
Oh, Billy is just fired up at this point.
Lost it now, yeah.
She calls him a pansy-ass mama's boy. That's fucking hilarious.
And then he throws the phone. You fired at me with the phone, you dick! And then...
My and mom then and dad are crying. Gonna be my so mad.
My mom and dad are gonna be so mad at me.
We're just laughing and laughing at his death here.
He's horrible, horrible yes, dead from yeah. multiple stab wounds.
Just
well,
so
he deserved it.
He does. Yeah. Fuck him.
But it was hilarious. And then Billy was like ripping the couch pillows open, and now he's got feathers all over.
Yeah, he's covered in feathers. It's fucking funny.
Shades of the lingerie pillow fight.
Yes.
Oh
fuck. She stabs him with an umbrella? God damn.
That is some badass shit.
Damn.
And makes sure she picks up the gun because she's no longer a fuckwit. And then does a monkey flip.
Yeah, that's, yeah, acrobatic of her. Ooh, takes a fucking fist to the face.
Ooh.
Damn.
And then he's like, when he's like trying to kill her, he's like, I always had a thing for you, Sid.
Yeah. Oh, and then she drops a motherfucking TV on telly. His face. Love it.
And electrocutes his face. That is the
beautiful.
Picture. And see, it's metaphoric because, you know, he got so caught up in the horror movies and television, and that's
yes.
He hoists by his own petard.
Randy.
Lucky he's a veg. Oh no, Billy's not dead. Here he is. And now he's trying to choke her like he choked Drew Barrymore.
Oof.
Say hello to your mother.
Oof.
And then... Oh, oh. Yeah, when she took her finger
oh,
in
oh, yeah, that's gross.
The sink. Ugh.
Gail. Gail with the fucking gun.
Courtney comes to the rescue. Just shoot this fucker.
He is just covered in blood.
Well, half of it was fake.
Yeah, sure.
Half of it's real
yeah,
now.
Yeah, some of it's his.
Yeah, it is now. And, yeah, Randy the Virgin is the only kid to survive apart from Sid.
I do love all the blood. You know how I am.
Oh, yeah, you're all about the blood. Mm-hmm. You can ask
that. You got the one last jump scare.
Where he comes up for one last bump. Kapow.
Boom! Right in the fucking forehead.
Yeah, fuck you.
That's cold, man. I love it.
And then, ah! But no, it's only the dad.
Such a great movie.
Yeah. Just so much fun. So much blood and gore. And really fun, like, chase scenes.
Mm-hmm. Psychological. Gore. I mean, it really has everything.
And it's hilarious.
It is, right? Yes.
Yeah. No, in a way that I find, like, actual scary movies hilarious.
Right.
But, like, it's actually fun. It's
yeah.
actually funny as well.
Like, smart funny.
Yeah.
Like, meta funny.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I mean. Like, they manage to be funny and, like, take the piss out of all, like, the horror movie tropes.
Mm-hmm.
But without ruining it, you
right.
know?
Right, yeah.
You still get to buy into the horror movie stuff when that happens. Like.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's a really cool that they pulled that off. Because it could have ended up as just, like, a straight-up parody, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It could have ended up, like, Scary
right.
Movie.
It was that very fine line, and they just did it just right. I love it. Well, have you watched the sequels to this one?
I watched 2 and 3.
Okay.
I have not seen Scream 4. I'm not sure I even knew that Scream 4 existed until
I struggle to remember what Scream 4 is about.
I have absolutely no idea.
I did watch, I want to say, like, 2 seasons of the TV show that was on MTV. I think it was MTV.
Hmm.
I think it was the Netflix by the time I watched it, but the Scream TV show is actually pretty good too. Like,
okay, yeah.
It does a good little twist, and there's lots of gore. I really like the female lead in it, so I think it's pretty good.
Well, speaking of Scream and Jamie Lee Curtis,
mm-hmm.
did you watch Scream Queens?
Yes, I did.
I fucking love that.
It is very good. Although, towards the end of the second season, I was like, okay, they need to be done with this. And then they did not make a third, and I was glad. Because
yes.
the first season was genius.
Yeah, I don't know if I started the second season or not. I know I haven't finished. I know I haven't seen, like, the end of second season. I think maybe I started it. But yeah, no, season one of Scream Queens was, like, fantastic.
And season two is good. I just didn't like the ending very well. But, like, yeah. it's legit good. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Really,
she's
everybody
so,
is.
Yeah, everyone in that is really good. Like, and, like, Emma Roberts and...
Oh, yeah, Emma's so good. God, she's so awful.
You yes.
hate her so much, but she is so watchable. Like, you cannot take your eyes off her. She's amazing.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, everyone in that's really good. And that's really fun as well, the way they, like, change suspicions, like, all the time.
Yes.
And, like, everyone's bumped off, and all the kills are really fun.
They are good.
And, yeah, that's really fun, too. That just reminded me, because, yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. And really
yeah, she's so good in that.
Yeah.
She's... I'm trying to look up the Scream 4 to see if I have ever seen it. I'm sure I have.
Ouch.
It was the last film directed by Wes Craven. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure I've seen this.
Yeah, I did know that he did all of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I honestly, I don't even know if I was aware that there was a fourth one. I know I've never seen it, but I've seen the first three.
Yeah, Emma Roberts is in it. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a good time. I didn't know that. Well, there you go. Yeah,
oh, there's lots of people in this. Anna Paquin's in it. Kristen Bell.
Oh.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to have to seek this out, I think.
We're going to have to watch this movie. Well, yeah. I bought the Scream movies on in a box set, so that's why I have them on DVD now, so I could watch them for this. So I'm going to watch... can watch Scream 4 now.
Alright, that will be my mini project within a project, is to watch all the Screams with you, so...
There we go. We'll get around to it.
Alright. Now that we're done, is there anything that you would like to talk about or plug or anything before we sign off?
What should I plug? Well, I always have to plug the Divas Deep Dive that I'm writing on placetobenation.com. That's where you can find it every Wednesday, I believe. Wednesday?
Yes.
I don't know what time it is there.
minus 2.
It's Wednesday night for me, so it's Wednesday for y'all. Yeah, where I talk about the divas of wrestling, the divas era of wrestling. And also at the moment, Stephen Graham and I are doing a little mini podcast series talking about the Mae Young Classic, and we'll talk about Evolution when that happens next week.
Awesome.
Yeah, which you can find on the Pro Wrestling Only feed on Place to Be Nation. So, yeah, I think that is about it.
Okay, well, I am... Oh, you're on Twitter, though, too, right?
I am on Twitter. Yes, you can find me at WomenSportSid, S-Y-D. Not S-I-D, like Sid was in this movie. But yeah, at Women's Sports Sid. And that's me.
And you can hear me on Geek and Sassy, on Talk and Pop, on probably like 10 other shows in the month of October. So
at least.
Sorry about it.
Don't be sorry.
Yeah.
You're everywhere, but it's fantastic.
And... I'm on Twitter at Jenny Cruz, C-R-U-Z 2814. And I think that's it. But thank you for watching Scream with me, Stacey, from Down Under.
Down Under. No, thank you very much, babe, for having me. It's been a blast.
All right. Thanks for listening. Night, night.